Good afternoon. We've already totally overrun. We're going to speed up even faster. We're presenting at the Floating University, which Benjamin and I, with many others, ran last summer as an inner city offshore campus. So I'd like to start by showing you how it looks spatially and telling you where the Floating University is actually located. It's between the districts of Kreuzberg, Neukölln and Tempelhof in Berlin. In the middle of the slide, you can see Tempelhofer Feld, a giant park. There's a lot of residential areas, very dense. And there's also cemeteries, sports grounds. And we're between Südstern and the Tempelhofer Feld Park. And you can see the rainwater pool, that's the blue bit, and that is where the rainwater from the former Tempelhofer Airport drains into. In the immediate vicinity, there's surrounded by an allotment with around 100 plots. And that's right round the rainwater basin. Previously, users of the allotments were the only people who could actually access this rainwater pool. It wasn't open to the general public. Just to give you an idea of how it looked. How does it work? Let me see. So there you go. There's the entrance. That was the party center, the community center, where people could meet. We had some parties there. So what's special about this place is that although it's in a sense right on the highway to Tempelhofer Feld Park, most people who came to us weren't at all familiar with this place, given that it had been closed away for a long time now. At first glance, you can see that it's a kind of oasis and you really can't see what's happening outside this area. So it's a great place, right in the middle of the city. And the question is, what can you do there? And why would somebody do something there? Actually, the general public should have access to this. It's wonderful in a way that there are these secret, quiet places right in the middle of the city that nobody knows about. Just a very small number of people, 100 people regarding their allotments have access to it, that's all. What we decided to do was to locate the Floating University there, the market value of this plot of land, right next to the largest park in Berlin, just 3 minutes away, actually, from the underground, and right next to Berlin's largest table tennis club. All kinds of other wonderful structural amenities are there. And it's quite clear that it won't be too long before it occurs to somebody they can do something there, build something, or somehow get money out of it. And therefore, we thought it would be important to develop an idea for this location that calls the location into question and adds something new, and thus offers scope to think differently about the city. So this offshore campus for cities and urban transformation, which we called Floating Campus, we received support from the Cultural Foundation of the German Federation and many, as at the federal level, the German Federal Cultural Foundation and many other partners. They provided the input. It's very important to us that this would be a place. We didn't just develop highly adventurous architecture. As we've heard in Mark's presentation, that is the kind of architecture that looks only to the outside, in a sense. You can see on the photos the architecture that we built there. But you'll see as well that we tried to develop an architecture without walls, non-reflecting, but instead finding its niche in a particular environment and reflecting what happens in that environment. So you can see the bridge there, and you come through a greenhouse or house with buildings. You come to the rainwater retention basin, and then there's a small building where you're received, a reception centre, in a sense, with the initial rooms for various different projects. That was taken from the House of World Cultures, from Atelier Bauer from Tokyo. That's from the exhibition Wohnungsfrage, accommodation question. And then there's a tower building with a kitchen and an auditorium and a stage, a bar, toilets. That's how it looks there. And of course, this is not architecture which echoes that of modernity. It's an aesthetic rooted instead in the 1970s. That seemed fitting to us because there was a much stronger desire for change at that point in time. That flooded much more into design work at that point in time. And we also like this aesthetic, and it was possible to implement it independently on a small budget. What's special about this site is that because it's a rainwater retention basin, there's only water there sometimes. Sometimes there isn't any. Last summer, for example, we were fortunate enough in a sense that for 4 to 5 months we had sunshine and not a cloud in the sky. And of course, that also meant that it became a rather desolate, dried out site, a kind of Gobi Desert in the middle of Berlin. It was fascinating to see the changes. First, there was blue water, and then there was green algae. Then the water vanished. Then the algae start to settle on the ground. They go turn white. They dry out. They break up like a salt desert. We took all of that as an example of the way in which our urban environment changes. Here you can see a green phase. And that actually brings us on now to the program and the events we organized. We wanted to have both academic and non-academic formats intermeshing. This is our first draft program. You can see the various different universities involved. There were even more over time, at the end, around about 20 who decided they wanted to become involved from Berlin, from across Germany, indeed from right across Europe. The orange parts are what were known as the open weeks, with the general public invited, and then our co-host, the three Berlin universities, the UDK, the University of the Arts, which was involved in events in the kitchen. Weissensee organized the bar and events there. And Berlin Technical University had studios plus a summer school from students for students. That was what they initiated there. It ran for 5 months, the whole program, that is to say. It wasn't entirely straightforward to have this cooperation between the academic and non-academic, given the different semester structures and the terms of the different universities. It was in the summer when there's often university holidays, but that was because we were an open-air university. We cooperated with Lausanne. That was the first visible cooperation. They helped with the design and corporate identity, helped to implement that. Here you can see some of our poster designs and our matriculation unit. So when you came through the greenhouse structure, that was where you ended up, first of all, information point and matriculation, registering four programs. Other formats also developed a float scene. That's a scene describing the whole process. various different formats. There were lectures. The University of Linz created a water playground. There was a lot of cooking when the pool was full or empty. In our auditorium, we had debates and discussions. There were presentations given by universities. Some universities got together with local stakeholders. With the BMX school nearby, there's the so-called mud trail that was developed and could be cycled with BMX bikes. And that was part and parcel of the public program. There were construction workshops, performative workshops, documentation. Formats were tried out. There were also cooperations with formats such as the Sound Dance Festival. They had residencies here and also gave performances. You could see them wonderfully from our terrace. Now, have you... Moving on. This was supposed to be a fountain here. That was the film I wanted to show you, but it didn't quite work. It was also possible to visit us. Generally, the doors were open. There were so-called rubber boot tours, but of course, sometimes you didn't need your Wellington boots because it was so dry. And we cooked, and you could walk around the campus at that point in time. That was all wonderful. It worked very well. A lot of people attended, but it was really a one-year project. Now, the place is still there, of course. The location still exists. How do we get these slides to work? Anyway, that would have been a film where you see someone wading through the water. And as I said, the location is still there. And in the last month, we set up an association that previously didn't exist. It was a private undertaking. We got very fond of this place and started to feel a sense of responsibility for future developments there. It's called Floating University E.V. for the next 2 to 5 years. It will keep an eye on what's happening there. Some of the architecture is still on the spot, although not all of it. There might be more water next year, so therefore it might be possible to work differently there. We're currently working on programs for the upcoming period, the idea being to look at the transformation process that the city is experiencing around the Tempelhoferfeld Park and in the districts Kreuzberg, Neukölln and Tempelhof. There's a lot of change underway there. We want to accompany that and to look at it from a scholarly academic perspective as well, and to try to be involved in negotiating and moderating that process. And we look forward to your input on that moving forward. Here you can see our water cleansing unit. That was central. The idea was also to use mushrooms to clean the water, and fungi. Water is, of course, a central topic when you're right in the middle of a rainwater basin with contaminated rainwater. How can you purify it? How can you clean it up? We tried various different methods. That was so we could use it to wash our dishes and then to clean the dishwater again as well, so that that could go back into the loop. So we did have approaches that were supposed to impinge on our everyday life and collecting ideas for this. This is Catherine, who headed the water lab for us. This is how water purification looks. You generally don't get to see it in everyday life, which is why I'll explain to you how it works. a so-called moving bed reactor. There are styrofoam spheres with bacteria on that clean the water. And we had experts checking the quality of our water after the purification. And indeed, it was cleaner than when it entered the system. And we watered our tomatoes with it. This is the last slide. The tomatoes, well, we collected the seeds, and now you can get these cards with 50 different kind of tomato seeds. Just itching to be planted and grown on the spot again. They're really waiting to start growing again.